Butler, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, December 14, 1903. Dear Brother Butler, I received and read your letter this morning. I am deeply interested in anything regarding the work in the South. I think I understand the situation there. I hope that Elder Daniels will attend your conference. He can help you in many ways. I wish him to be able to take a live interest in the work in the South, especially in the work at Nashville. May the Lord impart to us his own light. The doctrine of a wonderful experience of holiness and sanctification that has been taught in Battle Creek and other places has been as leaven put into meal. I fear greatly for the results of this fanaticism. The experiences we passed through in the early days of the message have always led me to feel, when I see men professing to occupy a high platform of righteousness, that something will follow of which we should be ashamed, something that will work harm. We certainly need clear spiritual eyesight. When I hear of theories being presented relating to my Father and my God, I am afraid lest the Lord shall be presented by finite man in a manner to belittle and dishonor him. You well know my position. We are on the earth as combatants. This is no time or place for us to be negligent, indifferent, or careless. We have a heaven to win and a hell to shun. There is frequently presented to me a scene of conflict and of determined opposition. How can it be otherwise when we are in an enemy's country? In the public games held in ancient times, a prize was placed in the view of those who were engaged in the contest. And for a mere chance of winning this paltry recompense, men were willing to submit to most painful trials. They gladly practiced self-denial and endured a severe strain in order to fit themselves for the contest. And shall not those who are animated with the hope of the gospel enter with equal enthusiasm into the contest to win the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Shall they, with the heavenly reward in full view, be less anxious or make only a feeble effort for success? Let us tax every spiritual muscle and sinew in the effort to secure the eternal reward. When one of the contestants in these games felt himself weakening, he would lift his eyes to the coronet in full view. The sight gave him fresh animation, and gathering up his powers, he pressed forward with renewed intensity of effort. What a lesson is this for those who have before them the prize of eternal life in the mansions our Savior has gone to prepare. Let us contemplate our heavenly treasure. We are not to allow our minds to dwell upon discouraging subjects. No one will be a winner in the great contest unless with earnest prayer and diligent study of the Word, he exerts every spiritual muscle and sinew, keeping his eye fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. We are not to be content with a vague supposition or a general belief as to what is truth. We must have the saving truth that brings with it the keeping power of God. An eternal reward is to be gained. Christ is watching, seeking to encourage and strengthen every soul striving for the victory. He holds up to his view the crown of life, that by looking, his faith may lead him to put forth renewed energy. Peace and unity. Let us strive for peace and unity. We need to study carefully and prayerfully the prayer of Christ for his disciples. Their unity in Christ through the belief of the truth carries to the world a convincing testimony that they are taught by him. Under the Holy Spirit's influence, peace and harmony will prevail. Spiritual peace and harmony bring health to the church, even as physical health is promoted by the harmonious action of all parts of the body. I am instructed to urge upon our churches everywhere the importance of studying the prayer of Christ, that they may come into the unity expressed in the words, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. John 17, verse 23. Why should not all strive to be made perfect in one through the sanctification of the truth? It is our duty to avoid the expression of ideas that would arouse difference of opinion and engender strife. God is the author of all good. All our blessings flow from Him, and they are given for the purpose of better fitting us to work to His glory.
As they have received the compassion and mercy and love of God, let men in positions of responsibility show compassion toward their fellow workers, even though these workers may have erred and gone out of the way. The Lord says to the men standing at the head of His work, Walk softly before me, and I will be your guide and your strength. You are not to hinder any of my servants, or destroy or lessen the influence of their work. He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall be delivered from the snare of the fowler. The meek will I guide in judgment, the meek will I teach my way. See Psalm 91, verse 1, 3, 25, 9. The greatest provocation that man can give would not hurt us if we would not put ourselves in the way by a manifestation of supposed authority. We become presumptuous, and God allows our pride to be hurt. Those who have learned to forgive and to pass by injuries have learned the surest way of baffling and defeating the enemy. Many things that appear to be formidable may be overcome by the grace of God revealed in human kindness and love. Divine grace is for you and for me if we will hide ourselves in Christ. Let our prayer be, Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61, verse 2.